You live in a world of choices. Today, you made the right choice.
I can't even get past it. It's just... it's so big.
This is The Drop. On this episode of The Drop, Tim Sanders.
I never like to see an old band play a new song. That stuff always makes me upset at a concert. You know, when a band that's been around for 30 years says, we'd like to play a new song, I say, oh God, no, because it's going to just suck. Would you please play the song that I liked when I was in third grade?
Now, here's your host, Dan Portnoy.
Hello and welcome to The Drop. My name is Dan, and I'm your friend. Well, 2007 is here, as we're in just a few weeks in. And I just want to go over a couple of things, if I may, before we get to this fantastic show. Big show today, Tim Sanders coming up in just a little bit. But before we do, just want to kind of recap everything that's going on with The Drop as we finished up the best of 2006. And now here we are in 2007. So, big changes. Obviously, the website. Some big adjustments there in the and how it's working. So, jump in. Check it out. It's much thicker than it ever was before, going more than just a blog. Something a little bigger there. Also, we've got some new editors who have joined our staff writing on the website. So make sure you say hello to them and throw them some comments or what have you. Really, The Drop is not about coolness. The Drop is all about people and people listening to music and individual opinions. That's what we're about. It's not for some sort of industry something. It's actually about the people. And getting involved and having more access to bands and stuff that we like. No prima donnas on this crew. So here we are. So say hello to them. Also, big things that are happening in our live show department. We've got a show coming up in Central Virginia, February the 17th, featuring David Bazan and Pattern is Movement. They're on tour all up and down the East Midwest, East Coast, Midwest, all over the place. And also featuring... Central Virginia newcomers Bosk, and they are kind of been the ticket to check out for the past year. So this is going to be a really exciting show. Ticket pricing is available right through the website and through a new agreement. We just signed up with etix.com, so we're really excited to work with those guys, and they've just done so great for so many venues on the East Coast that we've been able to check out. So sign up. Come out and see us. It's all good. Also, coming up in just a little bit, of course, is South by Southwest. I plan on going out there. So if you're going to be out there, why don't you just give me a yell? And you can do that at dan@thedroponline.com. And let me know who you're going to see and what you're going to check out. And maybe you've got some insight that maybe some stuff I'm not even seeing. I would love it to know what you think and who to check out. So that would be great. Also, MacRock is coming up in April, and The Drop is going to have a big booth out there, so we hope you're going to check out the Mid-Atlantic College Radio Conference and join us there. And the last thing is The Drop has gone syndicated in terms of a one-hour radio program that's available for college and community radio stations. So if you are familiar with one of those places, it's probably your favorite place to listen to music, shoot them an email. Ask for The Drop programming. Beta testers right now are being accepted, so there's no cost in that. There's just a little bit of info we need to figure out. So if you know somebody, just send them our way. Or if you're on one of the stations, check out how The Drop can help you attract some additional underwriting business to your station, because we think community and college radio is really where it's at in terms of the raw, the emotion, the excitement. Just anything can happen. It's a great thing. Well, today's show, Tim Sanders. This guy, if you're not familiar with him, is a New York Times best-selling author, a writer of the Likeability Factor and Love is the Killer app. You might not know that he is a music maven. This guy just knows everything about music. He's such a big fan. He's constantly telling people about it, and I really enjoyed getting to know him through email for the past several months. You can check out his blog at sanderssays.typepad.com, and I was doing that and reading back and forth, and I signed up for his email list, and he would send out some interesting info that had to do with some of his writing or just a little like tip in interacting with people. And then he would put this great thing like, here's an album you need to go check out. It'd be the Gotan Project or Silver Sun Pickups. And it seemed like he was stealing my iPod every time he would say this. And so we started conversing that way, and he's joining us here, and I'm really excited to have him. But we've got some big shows coming up in the next little bit. But we'll be back with Tim Sanders right after the break. Stick around.
Dan Portnoy.
Once Yes. Feewimes made it.
The Drop.
This is Mike Davidson of Newsmind.com.
Hey, this is Sally Ellison from Him.
Hey, this is Doug Sarine from AskAninja.com, and we are killing time with The Drop.
Want to know more about The Drop? Visit us at TheDropOnline.com.
Well, my next guest is the author of The Likeability Factor and all-around superior communicator with a new musical renaissance, Mr. Tim Sanders. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks, Dan. Glad to be with you.
Fantastic. Well, sir, the thing I've really liked in terms of getting to know you and your communication in terms of email and otherwise is in your blog is that you're really all over the charts in terms of music, which has really kind of floored me.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you ever heard of the movie Buckaroo Banzai?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So I always see myself like that guy. You know, if you remember, he was the diplomat, brain surgeon, school teacher that led a rock band and on the side worked on a cure for cancer. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I always loved how he was truly a Renaissance guy. You know, he really worked both sides of his brain. So I spend a lot of my time being a writer, and I write a lot of things that help people be more effective, you know, in their life and their career. And then the rest of the time, I think a lot about music, and I do have a very wildly varied, you know, musical taste, if you will. But honestly, I like things that contain the pulse of what's going on right now. And I'm open to worldwide interpretations of that. And that really is, you know, what spans my taste in music. From Goton Project to the Arcade Fire, they're both just part of what's urgent right now in culture.
Cool. Now, yeah, and that's, I think, what's really kind of floored me, because I started checking out your work through your books and your blog and your site just from I want to learn more about, you know, this likability stuff and getting to know people and listening to them and being more genuine and that kind of deal. And then it was, oh, and check out the Silver Sun pickups.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was like, what? I'm listening
to
that right now. What's going on?
A brand dementia moment, don't you think? But you know, for me, one of the things I believe is that if you want to stay relevant and highly likable people stay relevant your entire life, you have to keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And different people use different heuristics. I mean, some people are really good at studying fashion. Some people study art. Some people, and I feel sorry for these folks, obsess about politics or media. But however they do it, they figure out what's urgent by staying in touch with a part of our culture. For me, it's music. It was how I was raised. It's part of who I am. I was a musician before I was a business person.
Mm-hmm.
So music is the ultimate metaphor to me. About what's going on in society. Music's more of a symptom, you know, of what's going on in society. And so I like that. And I'm sure that my buddies that track hip-hop would tell you, yeah, that's exactly the same. And people that I grew up influenced by that created Western, like Hank Williams Sr., they'd say, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we were just singing about the times.
Yeah, and that's what I think is so neat as you look back on music is that, you know, it's telling the story, and that has been a very neat thing. You've purchased Duff's house out in L.A., and that is a crazy cool thing to me.
Yeah, so, you know, I retired from Yahoo last year. I was chief solutions officer there for a handful of years and decided to move somewhere and just live on the lecture circuit, write books, and, you know, just kind of do that for a while because I was already doing it on my part-time.
Sure.
So I decided to move to L.A. where I went to college back in the day, you know, back in the mid-80s when I was going to Loyola. And my wife, Jacqueline, found this home up, it's on top of Dead Man's Curve, Mulholland, Laurel Canyon, you know the area. And it's Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses. It's his old house. And it was the Guns N' Roses pad in the latter days. He fixed up the studio downstairs. It's nice. And, you know, it's just cool. And it's got the vibe. When we moved in, there was a drumstick still in the studio, which, you know, totally inspired me.
Yeah,
the thing was already wired, so eventually I got a guitar, I got another guitar, got my amp fixed, bought a Pro Tool system, started buying outboard gear, bought expensive mics, and all of a sudden, it's led to me, as they say in the Blues Brothers, putting the band back together, except the band concept is much more virtual, you know, in the new YouTube MySpace world. You don't necessarily have to go down to the vapor room or the troubadour to be heard by 11 people.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, what do you have in store in terms of in the musical renaissance?
Well, you know, the idea for us, when Jacqueline and I talked about it, we had a friend named Mark Schulman, who's a drummer who I'd met, who'd read my first book, and I had some email exchanges with him, just like I did with you, Dan, and we were obviously kindred spirit. Well, it turns out this guy's been the drummer for everybody. Billy Idol, Simple Minds, Cher. He subbed at Velvet Revolver when their drummer broke his hand. He's out on the road right now with Pink. Been out on the road for months with her. He got together with me, and we were going over some songs I've been thinking about for the last year and a half. We created some drum tracks and sent some of these drum tracks over to a guy who used to play in a band called the Toadies. A lot of the listeners are familiar with the Toadies and their hit Possum Kingdom from the 90s. They were one of the definite grunge bands, if you will. Daryl Herbert lives out in Los Angeles, so he contributed some guitar tracks, and all of a sudden we started to put the sound together, and we got really excited about it, and we're calling it the Micro Thrills. And we certainly plan to have some tracks. I know I sent you one to check out, and we're going to have some tracks available early next year, and you never know, we might show up somewhere in Los Angeles playing a gig, a bunch of geezers.
And that sounds hilarious and at the same time, intriguing. Just that much talent on the stage, that sounds great to me.
It'll be a lot of fun, and you know, I'm really writing from the point of view that there is no ultimate happiness destination in life. It's just a bunch of little thrills that collectively create a great life. And so I've gone back through the lens of where I was born in Lubbock and raised in Clovis and weaned on music like Buddy Holly and the Fireballs and that kind of stuff, and really thought about what punk really means and what being true to your roots really means. And I'm just trying to write some songs from that point of view. And it's ironic that the first thing that we've recorded is actually a cover track. It's called The Sound of the Rain. It was originally recorded by the Dills, written by the Dills, one of the earliest punk bands out in San Francisco, and then later recorded again by the same musicians in a band called The Rank and File, an original punk country band. So that's our first track.
Oh, that's great. Now in terms of what you're listening to now, and you know, it being 2007 and looking back at 2006, what's an album that's really influenced you this past year and keeping up that you're just, you know, either came at you with a left hook or something you were expecting? Or?
I'll mention just a few here. I've just got to say that if I'm going to sum up 2007 or 2006, if you will, there's like, I'm going to mention three bands here. Two are from two ironically from Los Angeles, I think. Morningwood. Morningwood's fun. They're naughty. They've got energy. They remind me of the Motels meet the B-52s. They're on their way up, and I just love them. Their record's got at least six or seven good songs on it, and I just really got excited about them early in the year, and the record still sounds good to this day. Another record that I've been very excited about this year, and I'm surprised because I don't really like the guy that much, but I love his art, is Baby Shambles. Baby Shambles are an offshoot of the Libertines. If you guys remember, the Libertines made two perfect records, just beautiful stuff. Mick Jones from The Clash got real excited about the Libertines. They were just a bunch of nutbags, though, and they fought like cats and dogs. Typical ego thing. They broke up. There's two offshoot bands. One's called The Baby Shambles with Pete Doherty singing. You know, this is the guy that got, you know, Kate Moss and all this trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one's Dirty Pretty Things, which I'm so about. But The Baby Shambles record is the bomb. It's one of the best alternative records of the last few years. There's at least seven or eight really good songs. This guy's as tormented as Jeff Buckley, and he's the real deal. So I like that in the middle of the year. The end of the year for me, it's all about the Silver Sun Pickups. Silver Sun Pickups make you remember how exciting track 5 on Gish was when Smashing Pumpkins first came out. You know, they've got that super compressed energy. They've got a great point of view. The singer and the bass player and the drummer and the keyboardist are just so sonic. And anybody who's got keyboards, who's playing distorted guitar keyboard patches instead of keyboard patches, is cool. I just saw them the other night at Troubadour. They're doing one of their last club gigs, and they're going to go out and open for Snow Patrol and OK Go. Silver Sun Pickups are also the real deal. This is a high energy group that brings back just something that bands just really haven't done in a long time, and that's deliver that kind of rollicking, thunderous kind of rock and roll that just has perfect guitar tone.
I couldn't agree more. That Silver Sun's Pickups album is just wow.
They're just sick. I mean, if you could ever see them live, you should just go check it out. Anybody listening, the energy on that stage would make anybody from the genres that loved the Foo Fighters, or anybody that loves Smashing Pumpkins, or anybody in that genre. It's really an updated, super current thing, and I love it. There's also a band coming up in Los Angeles. They're open for Silver Sun Pickups, and the cats in the band say they're the hottest new thing. Midnight Movies. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't.
Kind of like Nico. Sounds a little bit like Nico meets The Cure, if you will. So Nico from Velvet Underground with The Cure kind of thing. It's a local thing in Los Angeles. Sounds very cool. Now, as you know, the other freak in me likes to listen to world beat music because I love worldwide music, whether it's African rhythms, whether it's reggae. I especially like lounge. I especially love Brazilian lounge. There were a few records last year which get my attention in that genre, that world genre. I mentioned before the Goton Project. They followed up their fantastic debut record. They followed it up with a new record called Lunatico. So go check out Gotan Project. It is dub accordion lounge tango music, or in short, electronic tango. And it's sexy like Enigma, but it's super cool like Tricky. Gotan Project, I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, just the most exciting thing in that genre. The last thing I'd say is that for anybody who hasn't had a chance to listen to a lot of Dead Can Dance over the years, this is another group that's just got tremendous dynamics. They tell an incredible storytelling group, really, really rich, rich stuff, and the kind of stuff you could get a massage to, lay on a beach and listen to on your iPod. Dead Can Dance have a greatest hits collection of stories, songs, opuses, if you will, and it's a great thing to get for a vacation or for just to chill out or just to float away. The last thing I tell you I discovered last year was an artist named Meg Bowles, M-E-G-B-O-W-L-E-S. Incredible horn player that plays this most atmospheric stuff, sort of like Ornette Coleman in the soundtrack of Naked Lunch. And it is the most twisted form of jazz, but I highly recommend you check out Meg Bowles. And The Dark Earth is his first record out on the label, and it's just the most alternative thing I've heard since Mike Oldfield.
That's great.
So as you said, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, no, but I think that's the best part about music is that you shouldn't stick in just one genre.
Yeah, you know, they're all very current, though. I mean, I think the one thing that I really, really go for is current. You know, it's hard to get me excited about commercial music, per se. I mean, I was an auctioneer at the Yahoo Christmas party a few weeks ago in the Bay Area, and I always go up and do the charity auction because I just love the employee foundation they had. And they always have a guest at the Yahoo party that plays music. A few years ago, we had the Flaming Lips. Can you imagine?
Holy crap.
It was the bomb. But you know, there's 5,000 people at a Christmas party, so it's not like it's a garage gig, right? It was that
right.
Cool. This year they got Chris Daughtry. You know,
yeah.
Chris Daughtry, American
mm-hmm.
Idol, currently mm-hmm. platinum with his new first record. Nice kid, humble kid, excited to be alive. You can't not like that energy. The music, I just miss it. You know, it's one of those things where it just goes right through you. And the reason why is because it's not current.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't measure the gestalt of what's going on. I mean, mm-hmm. when I go to see the Silversmith Hiccups, there's 10 little things you could observe about their sound and their image and who they are and their everything that just speak to what is happening right now. When you hear the Baby Shambles, you know what is happening in London, UK, right this second. You can feel it. That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I totally hear you, you know, with the American Idol being so popular and everybody watches it and that whole thing. But there is something about the, okay, this isn't your stuff. And so it doesn't transcend the same way.
Yeah. There's a way I think about music is that I never like to see an old band play a new song. That stuff always makes me upset at a concert. You know, when a band that's been around for 30 years says, we'd like to play a new song, I say, oh, God, no, because it's going to just suck. Would you please play the song that I liked when I was in third grade?
Right.
My other rule is I never like to see a new band play an old song, usually, because I really want to know who they are and what they think. I'm not so interested in what their style laid over an old artist means. So I'd love people to reinvent a song if they're going to play an old song, if you will. But I really like someone who expresses what's going on. I mean, you know, a lot of the records that just stand the test of time. I mentioned Nirvana earlier. I mentioned grunge, if you will. That never mind stands the test of time. 30 years from now, it's still a great record because Kurt had a point of view and he shared a moment in time and a lot of people related to it. And that's what great records do.
Yeah, that record made me have to cut my mullet. it was a crazy time.
It was, man. The best way to create best way to predict the future, if you will, is to create it, and the best way to create it is to imagine it, and I think a lot of records do that. I mean, there's another alternative artist this year. If anybody hasn't discovered him that's listening, you should check out Soof John Stevens. Crazy guy, very alternative. Reminds me of the Brian Jonestown Massacre guy. If you saw the movie Dig, you remember this guy. But just a really multi-instrument guy with kind of a Beatlesque Sgt. Pepper kind of approach to making records. But I mean, this guy, you really know who he is by the end of his record. And it's a very personal record, too. So I like that, too.
Well, excellent. Now, if I can transition a little bit into what you've got going on your blog and what you've got coming up in the future here. You started blogging several months ago. I know I check it out. What is it that, you know, that's kind of prompted this? Is just, you know, wanting to have more interaction with people on a daily basis?
Well, you know, I have a newsletter group that people have been signing up for at timsanders.com for several years, and it's well over 10,000 people at this point. And it's always one of those things for about every month or two you get around to saying, okay, here's two books and two records and an idea, because that's kind of what I always pride my newsletter on. It's grown as a result. I'd always kind of held off on blogging, to be honest with you, because most blogs, I don't know how to say that, they're amateur diaries.
Yeah.
And I don't want to join that fray. I mean, I'm really a busy guy. I travel a lot. I write books. It was hard for me to imagine doing that. And then I watched some of my peers do a pretty good job at making a difference in the world, whether it was, you know, Seth Godin with his marketing blog or even Malcolm Gladwell with his blogs. I mean, I think that those were thoughtful, and they had a point of view, and they had a strategy. So over the summer, I decided that I was going to start blogging, and I was going to create an advice blog, a very particular form of blog. The advice blog's promise is simple. I'll give you a piece of advice at least every other day, usually every day. The piece of advice might be about your business life, where I have my expertise. It might be about culture and what I like music, for example. And it may be about spirit or philosophy. But every single day, there's a single sentence of advice I'll give you that is the nature of my post. And I said it today on my blog, and for those of you listening, it's sanderssays.com, just like it sounds. Those are the kind of pieces of advice I try to give, and at least a couple of times a week I try to post a video too.
Well, it's great. I know I've really enjoyed it, and just that little bit of, like you said, you check out a lot of blogs, and it's like, so nothing happened today, and that was great, and that kind of thing. Instead, this is much more like a little piece of motivation, or yep. You know, it just moves me along my day. It gets me thinking a little more critically about what I got going on, so it's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man. It's definitely, I get the opportunity and the ministry that one can have with having an advice blog. There's a little bit of a struggle because, you know, you have to come up with new ideas, and you want to make sure that they're aligned with the times, and then, of course, now I want to do music recommendations, too, as if I hadn't diversified things enough. But it's fun.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's fantastic, and I definitely encourage people to check it out. SandersSays.com. To subscribe, you know, check it out via the blog lines or whatever you want to do. Well, Tim, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. We're looking
Absolutely.
Forward to
it. Absolutely, and I think I promised this to you earlier. I'm a collector of Buddy Holly music. I grew up taking lessons from Norman Petty's wife, Vi Petty, in Clovis, New Mexico. So raised on good hillbilly western music, but I also know the original rock and roll. Elvis Presley stopped in Lubbock for a gig, and that's where rock and roll was born. And so I've sent you a very exclusive track by Buddy Holly, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
It's hard for a freak like me to go back to the stars, back to Eden. It's hard to go home again when home is a hole in your heart. Oh, you're just so mad, you know. We'll have to let you go, kid. You know it's a good thing, like you said to me. Go fix your soul or I will fly away. Oh, scare the dickens out of me. I owe the world good company, and I only want for you to smile. And it's hard when you're damaged goods to go back in time, back to Eden. Hard for a killer to face the cause of his crime,
face the cause of his crime.
It's hard to go home again, it's hard to be 12 again and hear his booming voice again and feeling so shitty again. It's hard for old guy like me to go back to the top. Oh, you're just so mad, you know. We'll have to let you go, kid. You know it's a good thing, like you said to me. Go fix your soul or I will fly away. Oh, tear the dickens out of me. I owe the world good company, and I only want for you to smile. And it's been a while. Let go.
episode. We've made it to yet another episode. Finality. I don't know. Finality? Some sort of Mortal Kombat ending? I don't know. Well, that was the season premiere of The Drop for 2007. Big thanks to Tim Sanders. You can check him out at timsanders.com, or you can just check out his blog at sanderssays.typepad.com. And I'd say do that. And you can always check the drop online.com for links to all of our guests. And big thanks to him. And you have a great day. Big thanks to you. Thanks for downloading, and I just want to let you know, The Drop is getting massive in Korea right now. I don't even understand it, but that is how it is on this end. My name's Dan Portnoy for the cast of thousands. Have a great one, and be safe.
You've been listening to The Drop. Your host has been Dan Portnoy. For more information about The Drop, go to thedroponline.com or send an email to info@thedroponline.com. This podcast was produced and engineered by Chris Weigel at Audio Concepts, and it has been a production of the Portnoy Media Group.